Welcome to the Bitcoin Nova. Today I'm here with Holly Berkley. She is an author and she has some fascinating views on Bitcoin that I'd love to hear. We've had some talks about Bitcoin being a connected consciousness. I've heard some YouTube videos of you speaking and I'd love to know more about your thoughts just on Bitcoin in general, but I'd like to get started with how you got into Bitcoin.
Thank you very much. First of all, love to be here. Really happy to be here with you on this April morning. And I would love to talk a little bit about how I'm interested in exploring kind of a significantly different perspective than the usual Bitcoin, you know, guest or, you know, Bitcoiner. Yes. Most people are talking about like the financial aspect of Bitcoin, the price predictions, you know, how to accumulate it, how to live or retire on it, all that stuff, right? Where the world's going, you know, all that. And even some of the human rights, you know, the other aspects of it, global financial freedom. But I'm really looking at it from a very different perspective. I think Bitcoin is a change agent for growth at all levels, not just kind of the financial systems. Many Bitcoiners have experienced that moment that changed everything, you know, that just kind of woke them up to what Bitcoin was, that realization of what it is and what it means for you personally, and perhaps even for the planet, you know, the larger global implications of what Bitcoin is. And certainly for many people I've talked to, it moves you into a different time preference, right? You gain clarity, you make new choices around your health and lifestyle and relationships, family, home, education, lots of stuff. And it even sometimes shifts people's values, or at least clarifies them. You've probably seen that with some of the folks you've been talking to about generosity and integrity and collaboration and all those kinds of really important core values. And what I'm seeing all over the place is recognize the importance of realizing the importance of personal sovereignty on every level. And if we expand that to a global perspective and even perhaps a cosmic perspective, we are in the midst of a massive global transformation, a really, truly radical paradigm shift, an evolutionary leap as humans. And I can talk more about that later, but I just kind of wanted to start with that, and that Bitcoin will provide financial, social, and even a spiritual foundation for this radically new era that we are moving into. And, you know, people talk about like the development or the adoption of the internet, and you see all those, you know, those charts, right, that do this. And this transformation is going to be way bigger and way more profound than that. So that kind of just wanted to set that as the starting place, and then I kind of back up into how I got into all this and how I came to this realization via a very different trajectory than most folks. I like to say I've been red-pilled or orange-pilled twice in my life, you know, once about Bitcoin and then once a little earlier. So I've had a life that has contained a really broad range of careers and experiences, big zigs and zags.
I'd love to hear about the road that led you here and what your passions were beforehand, because I feel like a lot of it is not just, you know, just your career path, but what your interests were, and and a lot of those things all connecting together led you here.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, I like to say I'm on my fifth career, you know, because I have one of those, you know, brains. I'm a lifelong learner, and I'm interested in a whole bunch of different stuff. And, you know, I have a really logical linear left brain, you know, science, technology, but I also have a really intuitive right brain tuning into energetics and stuff like that. So there's this connection between the two. And I tend to see connections between dots, patterns that aren't obvious. It's like, oh, that, you know, so.
That's what I love too. I love to be able to take different ideas and figure out how they're interconnected.
Isn't it wonderful? I know. It's just one of those really cool things about being alive and human. That's like, that's connected to this, you know, it's great. Like I said, you know, I started out in the arts, way back young, arts, dance, that kind of stuff. Moved into finance because, you know, it's really hard to support yourself on the arts when I was living in Manhattan at the time, and you can't pay rent on, you know, working in the arts. So I talked my way into the back office of a primary dealer and ended up becoming a fixed income trader on Wall Street, got my Series 7. And then I wasn't sleeping at night because I had $100 million trades on, and it's like, I don't have that risk profile. Yeah. So I ended up teaching myself computer languages and writing software that I needed yield curve analysis and stuff like that, and ended up moving into into advanced tech, basically, and writing software for other municipal bond brokers and things like that on Wall Street, and ended up as director of, this was my last corporate job way back when, is director of corporate technology strategy for American Express, you know,
okay.
Doing pilot projects in advanced technology for the 5 business units. So like I said, like arts, you know, finance, tech. And then I had kind of a red pill moment about the matrix that is corporate America. And I had an event that happened to me, a personal event, and it really woke me up to what is reality. And I realized this whole thing that I bought into, this whole matrix, was not reality. And I realized that everything is energy. And, you know, we are much larger than this 3D human experience that we're having. And I just could not continue in this corporate job. I was writing technology forecasts, you know, 5 years down the line. And after that realization, I just didn't give a whatever about, you know, writing these. I mean, the tech was interesting, but it's like, yeah. I don't care about American Express's bottom line anymore. You know?
And it's not your passion anymore. So you feel like it becomes so draining. Like exactly. You don't want that energy to be drained.
It's like my heart was atrophying. My left brain was like, this is really cool. I get to hear about all these new technologies before they hit the market. Cause you know, but my right brain and my heart were just atrophying. I was like, I can't do this. So, you know, I ended up launching into a whole different direction and exploring more energetic and spiritual realms. And
it's almost like you started off like in this, starting off in this creative world, that was really your true passion to begin with. But then you have this like fight or flight, like I need to survive and do these things to survive in this world. And you do what you have to do when you have to do it. But then there becomes a time that, yes, you have an awakening and
right.
Something happens in your life. And then so you started getting into the spiritual side of things.
And the energetic. And like, I started studying a whole bunch of different modalities. I'm now certified in 8 different personal growth and healing methods and systems. And started hanging out in Japanese Zendos, meditating, doing meditation retreats, and really kind of going down that whole rabbit hole. And for the past few decades.
You started going to meditation retreats?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, I started meditating on my own, and then I started going to retreats, doing, you know, 10-day silent, you know, retreats, stuff like that, which fit into all the stuff I was studying, traditional Oriental medicine and Reiki and neurolinguistic programming and somato-emotional release and a whole bunch of stuff, right? Energy psychology. And it was during that time, you know, that I contributed chapters to a couple of books, and I had a nationwide online radio show called Find Your Way, Simple Tools for Complicated Times, you know?
Wow.
So I was interviewing thought leaders in that space, like Julia Cameron, who wrote The Artist's Way, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dawson Church, some really cool people.
Wow, you've really just, you know, climbed the ranks of so many different areas.
It's been a really, you know, broad, interesting life, that's for sure. And you know, my true focus for the past number of years has been supporting really deep personal growth, advanced personal growth for entrepreneurs and business leaders through a private consulting practice, making use of, you know, advanced bioenergetic therapeutic methods. And then, of course, exploring spirituality and consciousness and metaphysics, you know, at many levels. So those two things kind of tie in together.
I love that sector. I think I'm really fascinated by that. I have a friend who's very much into Reiki, and He's got a deep knowledge of it, and I don't know much about it, but I understand, you know, what it is. But I am fascinated by so many different areas. I just don't have so much depth in them, but I have this, you know, that broad range of understanding how things are connected. So I just feel like I love to learn more about them and how and what people that actually have taken the time to teach me, you know, and more other people that are watching.
That's very cool. Yeah, and it's after all these years of kind of nurturing my intuition, I'm a very big, I'm not even going to say believer because it's not about belief, but I follow those little intuitive nudges. I mean, one of the things, you know, I had a postcard come across my desk years ago for some weekend workshop in craniosacral therapy. What the hell is craniosacral? I don't even know what this is, but I'll go check it out. And one day into that weekend workshop, I went, oh, I know what this is. And it ended up being, you know, the next thing I did for 20 years. I mean, it was like those little random nudges that just fall into your lap. You know, I had another, I was getting a birthday present, a book for a friend at a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, back in the day. Pulled this book off the shelf and the book next to it was stuck to it and came with it and literally landed in my lap. And I was like, undefended love. What the heck is this about? And I opened it up and that ended up being pivotal for the next decade, you know, working with the authors and doing a bunch of stuff. So the universe just like drops stuff into your lap if you're paying attention.
When you're paying attention. And I wanted to kind of touch on that before you continue, because I feel like you were connected to me through a mutual friend on X, you know, and she suggested your account and I started listening to you and you're fascinating and definitely what the kind of person I want to talk to, somebody who understands Bitcoin, somebody who understands that it's this transformative protocol, not just technology, but it's, you know, just Bitcoiners in general are fascinating, but it's just finding out what you have interests in and finding out about the metaphysical side of things and having this girl connect you to me, it just feels like, you know, there's so many things that feel like fate, like things that if you just said no to one thing, it wouldn't cause that ripple effect that kind of happens throughout the rest of your life. So if you don't have that open mind or that intuition or something to pretty much even escape that fear, because a lot of us, we have fear to try new things and we don't want to do it. We don't want to notice those signs. So even when it came into for myself, like how I got into starting this channel, it was those little nudges. It was, you know, I never expected to do this. I never expected to start a YouTube channel and talk about Bitcoin, even though I do love Bitcoin. I could talk all day about it. But I feel like it fell into my lap, but I just kind of paid attention to, you know, the first person that asked me to be on a podcast. I was terrified, but I had to get over the fear to just say, let's do it. You know what I mean? I love this. So why not? Just, I have to, you know, also show the people in our community that why not speak up? There's so many knowledgeable people. You don't have to be in finance or tech and you can just speak your mind about it. And people would want to hear from regular people.
Right.
So I just felt like I took that leap. I went past the fear just to show others that you could do it too. You know, why not just speak? What are you afraid of? So I did it more for that reason. And then people just kind of wanted to hear my own podcast. So, you know, it was just kind of like this nudge from people that I just decided, okay, let's try it. You know, so it's like, you do have to kind of pay attention to little signs, because if you say no to one thing, it won't lead to the other and your life just kind of stays stagnant. So you have to always be like, change is growth. And if you don't change, you like begin to atrophy, you know, and that's when you start to feel that that sense of your heart feeling like it's just, you know, you're not passionate about what you're doing and you feel like you become depressed. You know, you need to kind of just find things that are not just interesting to you, but listen to those little cues that you're getting from around the world.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Listening to those little intuitive nudges. And the more, I've, you know, worked with clients and taught them about this, the more you pay attention to those little nudges, those little things that get dropped in, the clearer the signals get. It's almost like you're taking a channel that's really narrow and you're just broadening it. The more you listen, and you can't just listen, you have to act on it. You can't just say, oh yeah, I got this, but you have to act on it. And the more you do that, the clearer the signal gets.
You're so right about that. I love that you say, because it does feel like I think the signal gets clearer in my mind because when you do one thing that you think you're afraid to do and you actually take the action and you're not just saying you're going to do it, you're actually going to do it. You become less scared every time you take another step. So I think then when right. you hear things, you think, sure, I'll try that too. And it leads to more opportunities or more growth.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to your point about stepping into this thing you never thought you were going to do is kind of scary. One of the larger shifts that's happening globally, energetically, et cetera, is that we're being called to step more into our more fully into our authentic selves. And that's, you know, despite any old patterning fears, imprints about, can't do that. Nobody wants to hear from me. You know, any of that stuff. It's like just truly stepping into who you are as your authentic, fully authentic self. And then just letting the chips fall where they may, you know, and if it's in alignment with what your soul wants, you will be so well supported. There's a process I have called the red carpet. Like if you are in alignment with what your soul really wants for you, the red carpet just gets rolled out. Amazing things happen. Things come out of nowhere that you couldn't possibly have orchestrated. And it just is easy. And that's when you know you're in alignment. Like, you know, if this, like people saying, I want to be on your podcast, and you're getting amazing, you know, all sorts of wonderful people. It's like when it's easy, you know, you're in alignment.
And I feel like I say that with relationships too. And that's, it gives me chills. Like, I feel like every time I talk to somebody, I'm getting chills all day, but it's like, that's why I know I love this so much, because it actually hits me and it makes me feel just like I understand. And I don't know. I feel like it just feels like so many things in life are like that, like relationships. It's, you know, I tell people all the time at my work, because I'm a hairdresser and a kind of a therapist, it's like the universe is telling you it's not working. You know, you're trying so hard to make this relationship work. You're like struggling. You're trying yes. to, you don't understand each other. You're fighting. And it kind of is just like, that's telling you, like, not to say you shouldn't try to make things work, but when it's not easy and come like natural and just make you happy, like it's kind of telling you you're not in the right relationship, you know, but people just fight so hard to stay into something that they should really just move on from, just because they're afraid of change too. So yeah. It's like, that's like a big, you know, connection between how we feel about even that aspect of our lives.
It's true. There's a wonderful book called Power Versus Force mm-hmm. by Dr. David Hawkins. Uh-huh. And power is that natural alignment when things come pretty easily. And forces, I'm pushing it. I'm trying to make it happen. And there's still a lot of old patterning. And I see it all over X and Bitcoiners of you got to fight, you got to struggle, you got to push. You know, it's a lot of times it's guys talking about physical health or whatever. But it's like, no, I mean, yes, you have to do the work. But success does not come from forcing things. It comes from being in flow, being in power, being in alignment. And then things come, you know, just unfold. But there's a little bit too much of no pain, no gain, you know, nothing ever happens without, you know, struggle. It's like, yeah, no, struggle actually is counterproductive to achieving and manifesting what you're wanting.
I feel like I even had a guest recently who kind of opened my eyes to something too, because I always thought my mentality was that, you know, you have to understand Bitcoin, you kind of have to fall into this altcoin or, you know, the other word that we call it, you know, phase of our lives, you know, you have to kind of like get tricked, you know, in order to then have that pain to understand Bitcoin afterwards. Mm. But what I'm realizing is there's people now that have seen so many of the lies and have kind of like, they see straight to the truth that, and I know it's not just my one guest, I'm sure there's many more people like him, but he skipped that entire phase and went straight to Bitcoin. And his idea was that he is intuitive, you know, so he would see, you know, you can tell who wants the best for you. Like the Bitcoin community is very helpful and supportive and caring and smart, you mm-hmm. know, but the people who want to like, you know, pump their bags and they want to get you in on their project, it's like you can see through that, those lies, so much easier as time goes on.
Yeah.
So I have this like new saying now that this cycle is breeding Bitcoin maxis, because people are just going straight to the truth and they have that intuition a lot quicker now. It's like happening faster and than I think when we started, or I started in 2020. I don't know when you did.
I started in January 21. And two things. One is there's much more information for newbies out that's really good. And so they can jump over that, you know, having to kind of struggle to find what Bitcoin really is. There's a lot of good information out now. The second is when I started, I got Bitcoin, I got a little bit of Ethereum, and I think one other thing. And within a month, I'm like, yeah, no. And I was out of the Ethereum. I can't even remember what else I got. And I just went, you know, so it didn't take long to do that little flip.
Your signal was very strong then, it seems, because you had that, you know, that view, and you could see this through the truth. I think that for me, I think the problem was the person that orange pilled me, was very much into the altcoins, and like who he knew so much about Bitcoin. He taught me a lot about it. But he was also like, oh, but this one's got a great project and that one's doing this. And so he was very much into all these other coins. And even now to this day, I feel like he, you know, he's younger than me. He just started his life. He got married. So I feel like a lot of his time and energy had to go into like wedding planning and fixing up his house. So I feel like, I don't know how much even in the Bitcoin game he still is, and he knows how valuable it is, but I still feel like part of him, he's still stuck in that mindset, like some other project. And I'm like, it's crazy to me that, you know, I get it now, you know, but I feel like it took me longer because I was kind of like orange pilled by somebody who didn't fully get it, you know, that Bitcoin is it.
Well, and the only reason I got into Ethereum, and I can't remember what else, you know, myself, is that one of the first places I heard about Bitcoin was from someone who was doing with a lot of different coins, trading, you know, doing all sorts of stuff. And he's like, you really want to be checking these out. So I did. And then the more I understood really what Bitcoin was, I realized how unique it was and how different it was, and saw that clarified what these were. But the same thing, that's why I, you know, did that at all.
So, so how did your, journey going from, like, what was the path? Like, how did you go from 2021, were you doing that, the meditation retreats and things before that or after that, or what was your timeline?
Well, I mean, I've been doing in the meditation stuff for a long, long time. And, you know, like I said, 8 certifications over many, many years. So, and they all supported my private practice in what I've been doing for a long time. But I got intro to Bitcoin in 2017 through another friend, and totally discounted it because of my financial background. I just said, I know what money is. This isn't real money. And I just totally dismissed it. I heard the Michael Saylor, Ross Stevens 60-minute interview. And if you haven't seen it, it's great. Saylor was doing a Bitcoin for Corporations conference, very small. It's gotten much bigger now. And this was just an hour-long interview. And they were talking about Pristine Capital. And they were talking about, you know, what this thing is. And all of a sudden, all the pieces just fell into place. You know, the financial, the technical, the global. I got a strong intuitive hit of what Bitcoin was or where it was going. And, you know, the energetic spiritual aspects of it. And everything just got super clear in that moment. And the role it was going to play in the global change that was emerging. I've been tracking this global change for, you know, the last 20 years, and all these different knowledge trajectories, I'll say, sources, kept saying it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And we'll get to that a little bit later. But right now it's here. It's not coming. It's here. But all of a sudden I had this real clear understanding of the role that Bitcoin was going to play in this big global change that was emerging. So this was like my second orange pilling, you know. So it wasn't a lot of times when people get into Bitcoin, it's a really big life shift. So this wasn't a life-changing awakening that so many experience when they're orange pilled, because I'd already been kind of in sovereignty, in, you know, in good healthcare, in, you know, conscious relationships, all these kinds of things for a really long time. So it's more like the last puzzle piece just fell into place, you know, to support the massive global transformation that I was already aware we were on the brink of. So it was like that sense of, well, that's the piece that was missing, you know? So that was kind of, it was a different little orange pill moment, but it wasn't the life-changing one. It was like the last piece falling into place.
I love that. Yeah. Getting introduced to different people in this world, you know, it encrypts your block. And when you have other people that come into your life and just fit that little last little puzzle piece for you, it's like you feel like you're
click,
you know, like, and then click. Everyone gets stronger and the network gets stronger. And we're all just like connected to it because we, you know, it is this cyberspace, you know, it's like this different realm, you know, but we are like thinking of the seed phrase being in your mind, you know, if you were to remember it and just save it in your brain, it's like, we're all connected to Bitcoin through just our minds kind of. And like, and then when you meet more people, it just, you do feel like you feel whole, you feel encrypted, you know, it's just a very cool way to think about it that way.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking of Bitcoin as kind of, these days I'm thinking of Bitcoin as conscious money. You know, that little puzzle piece was like the capstone rather than a big door opening. It was just the capstone, a mini orange pill experience. And of course, since then, since 21, I've, you know, stack of books, thousands of podcasts. Back in the, when I started, it was a Clubhouse, you know, everybody was on Clubhouse every night. I kept getting the same questions. I was, of course, orange pilling everybody, you know, I could get my hands on, and I kept getting the same questions from people. So I ended up developing an online class called Bitcoin Curious? And in an hour and 15 minutes, it's, you know, just covers what is money, how is it broken, what's Bitcoin, how does it fix it, what's the FUD you'll encounter, where is it heading, and how to safely get started, get your feet wet.
So is it a website where people can go find information, or is it a place where they can join and talk and ask questions?
It's actually an online class that I offer. It's not, you know, it's not available to find on the web. It's like when there are groups of people that say, we want to get a bunch of together, will you teach us? And I'll do it then. So I can do it online for any group of people. I don't do, it's not a one-on-one. It's just kind of, you know.
That's amazing. I love that. That's such a, cause that's like a really good way to, you know, get to people because they can ask directly and they can actually be interested in it and actually get the answers that they need in a smaller group setting. And then, you know, they can carry that over to their friends and explain things to them if people are curious as well. Or, you know, it's just a really great way to educate people.
And it gets every, you know, whoever has a question, invariably someone else, you know, is like, oh, I wouldn't have thought of that, but yeah, I need to know it too. So it gets a lot of questions answered and it gets a lot of fears allayed about what this thing is. And they feel much more confident and, you know, safe at the end to say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I understand what this thing is. I understand why it's important and the impact it's going to have globally. And I'm ready to dip my toe in and start getting some. And of course, once they've done that, you know, then they can go down their own rabbit hole and get more educated about really what Bitcoin is.
Yeah. And I think like I've always heard that Bitcoin is a protocol, but I feel like a lot of people confuse it with the technology. And I had heard Jeff Booth say that recently. I feel like I always learn something new from him. But even though like I've heard the word protocol many times since I understood Bitcoin, but just understanding that the internet is a protocol. And when that started, it's like they were saying that the, or he was saying that the internet was like, they were having these battles over who's going to be the centralized one to control the internet kind of thing. Yeah. But then the free decentralized version won, you know, so it's like the internet is now, you know, like a protocol. It's like a, it's like how Bitcoin is. So it's like Bitcoin isn't just a technology. It's a different, like it's a paradigm shift, you know? So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel that's why so many of us can't help but still study it and talk to more people that understand it, because you do find all these different connections and you see that, that energy shift that we're seeing, that awakening that we're seeing, it feels like I've even had these thoughts, which they might be a little out there, but I feel like maybe you can help
for
me.
I'm always like way out there. So go for it.
Okay. So my thoughts are, I have crazy thoughts, but my dad, he's, I don't want to say he's a doomsdayer, but he's always been like the type of guy who, when it was coming up to 2012, he would always mention, oh, the Mayan apocalypse, you know, like the Mayan calendar.
Yeah.
And I was, at the time, I had gotten married in 2010 and then I got pregnant shortly after. So I'm like, Dad, you keep mentioning this Mayan calendar, like I'm having a baby. You think like I want to think about the end of the world, you know? So I think because of my dad would randomly be worried about this time in that was upcoming. You know, he, it would be in the back of my mind a lot. So I feel like I was like researching the word apocalypse, and the word apocalypse actually means the unveiling. Yes. So it doesn't actually mean the end of the world. It may mean the end of the world as we know it.
Exactly.
And part of me, I've had these thoughts, which this is totally probably just like not at all connected, but I just like to try to think of it this way. It's like, we think of Bitcoin as time. And, the thing is, the Mayan calendar was a time. It was, you know, it was keeping track of time, right? So in 2012, it was like the date was supposed to be like December 21st, 2012. That was the end of the calendar. And then I think about the first halving of Bitcoin being right before that, like November or something of 2012. So I just think of it being like this first halving was like the clock stopped and it was like now this new protocol really is just taking off and it's like the new basis of what time is. So I sometimes like connect those two dots, like even though it's not, I just think my mind is just like, even though it's just a crazy idea, it's like the unveiling doesn't mean apocalypse, doesn't mean end of the world. It just means the change in what's happening around us. And it means that we are awakening, you know? So I feel like
absolutely
Bitcoin is helping people awaken to the truths of how money really works and what, you know, how our time is being stolen from us. So mm-hmm. it's this new protocol that saves your time and gives you hope. And it's just a new era.
And I've always loved that, you know, people do tend to think of apocalypse as destruction, you know, devastation, rather than unveiling, revealing what is, you know, what is important, what is true, and allowing that to come up to the surface. And that's part of the global transformation that we are in right now. Yeah. And that's huge. There's a huge human metamorphosis that is happening.
And do you think of that, if you could explain more why you think that's happening?
So we're coming out of, you know, I don't know, a couple thousand years of Pluto and Capricorn. Pluto is the great destroyer. It's the metamorphosis. It, you know, dismantles things. And Capricorn are all the top-down structures. So, you know, in government and investment houses and academia, top-down, power over. That's kind of, you know, Capricorn. And we've just moved from Pluto and Capricorn. This is why you've been seeing so many things kind of falling apart globally, governments, you know, all sorts of stuff, to Pluto in Aquarius. And for the next, I don't know, let's see, 150 years, I can't remember how long it's going to, this piece is going to last. And this is part of, I want to, before I move on that, clarify something. There are a number of different really significant time cycles that have reached completion simultaneously. There's the 24,000 year Kali Yuga cycle, and we're ending the age of darkness, and literally in, you know, was March of this year, and moving into what's called Satya Yuga, which is the golden age. You've got a 12,000 year cosmic photon belt, which has to do with, you know, photons in the universe. And that leads to when we're in those cycles every 12,000 years, it leads to cosmic upgrades, a chance for humanity to level up spiritually and mentally, heightened awareness, deeper insights, things like that. We're in a 1,000-year solar cycle. So you're seeing, you know, much, much stronger solar activity as usual, than usual, excuse me. And that's impacting us at the physiological level, at the central nervous system level, at the DNA level. And then you've got a 248-year planetary cycle. And what was happening 250 years ago? You know, you had the American Revolution, you had the French Revolution. So they're revolutionary energies right now. So all of these cycles are all completing, like, and starting new ones at the same time, which almost never happens. They usually kind of overlap, but there's like this huge ending and beginning. And many, many spiritual leaders and past and present have described this time and this of a great awakening of the consciousness of humanity and an expansion of our capabilities past our known five senses into all the clairs, clairaudience, clairsentience, you know, all of those kinds of extra sensory, extra, you know, five senses capabilities.
And it's crazy to me that these things not just were predicted, but they're timed because of the planets and because of the way things shift in the energies. And it's like all because of our universe and how things move. But just to think that it's like these times were predicted or timed out from a long time ago. They weren't just like somebody thought of it yesterday.
Right.
So to know that coincidence, you know, that they predicted a time where we're in this age of technology, this AI boom. You know, anyone who made these predictions or had these, you know, studies where they would find out when these ages finish, to have that all happen at the same time now when we are in this transformative age with not just AI, but with Bitcoin, even though empires have collapsed after
and the fourth turning, the fourth turning and all of those. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So it's like, and I think the US, they're saying it's toward the end of what is normally, mm-hmm. you know, so it's just like all of that is also coinciding with all, Bitcoin and with AI. And
I know. And then you look at, it's a 9 year in numerology. That means that's a year of endings. It's a snake year, which is shedding old, you know, old skins and starting new. And we're moving, you know, we've got DNA upgrades leading to psychic sensitivities, expanded consciousness, multidimensionality. And we're also going to be moving into a much larger awareness of the part that we play in the greater cosmic and galactic family. We tend to think of ourselves as just these little 3D humans, but we're not. We're actually spiritual beings, you know, inhabiting these meat sacks. And so there's going to be a much expanded consciousness awareness of the part that we play in our connections to our cosmic family. So we're coming back around to some of the Pluto and Aquarius shifts that are going to be happening. We're moving from corporate top-down, you know, corporate political governmental structures and the elites having power over individuals, so not sovereignty, severe financial and human rights inequalities, and the kind of the concepts of separation and division and manipulation. You know, we're seeing all of this coming up through Doge, all the stuff that's been happening. And we're moving into a higher octave of consciousness, basically, with qualities of cooperation, collaboration, power to the individual, sovereignty, personal sovereignty, transparency. And we are returning to our true nature as energetic co-creators. And a shift to a reality where thought and intention and consciousness drive everything. Yeah. So, you know, we're going to start to see some rapid breakthroughs in science, tech, aviation, genetics, healing technologies, plasma physics, energy systems. So that's part of the Pluto and Aquarius, is you start to see those big breakthroughs happen in a lot of these different areas.
Another thing with just people like me who had that fear all this time to never even consider doing a podcast or showing yourself on YouTube or worrying about it. You know, I feel like for people like me and anyone who's going to be coming out, just deciding that they want to speak about not just a silly YouTube channel, but something that they feel like they're connecting with other people and actually, you know, sharing knowledge and also educating others, you know, it's like, we're like, I'm doing this at the same time that all of these things are happening. And a lot of people are starting to wake up and realize, again, their role, like you said, like, it's like my role, like, I feel like doing this mm-hmm. is so much fun for me. I mm-hmm. enjoy talking to people that understand and, teach me at the same time. Like, I'm always wanting to learn. I love learning. But just knowing that I can do this, I can talk to you and people want to come talk to me is just, I'm so grateful for it.
Isn't it wonderful? I mean, this is what we're moving into, is a time of cooperation, collaboration, communication, you know, community. This is, and you can feel all these energies. And I was starting to feel them, you know, over the last year, 2 years, people were like aching for this, wanting this. And now you're starting to see all these things kind of coming up to the surface. It's like, oh, there it is, you know, and that's what we're moving into. Yeah.
Yeah. And even our communities that we've built on X, it's like all these years we've been on there, we would just talk individually, share our thoughts individually. But then now, you know, however, it was like one spark, like led to people trying to collaborate and communicate together. And
The connections get knit, you know?
Yeah. And everyone is so happy. We actually enjoy each other's ideas and art and, you know, everything that we're doing, you know, everyone's talents that all
oh, your video talents. Oh my God. They're like off the charts. It's like, whoa, I want to do a Vulcan mind meld with you so I could just download all that and know how to do it. That would be so great.
Oh, I just tell everyone CapCut is my, I played a lot with it when I was, again, like when I discovered Bitcoin, I was playing a lot with it, gaming. So I was like playing around with editing. But yeah, it takes a little bit of time, but there's so many great tools out there. And just seeing everyone else's talents too, is like, they can take, you know, our photos and animate them. There's somebody who's made a website, you know, there's for all of us, you know, and it's like people that are connecting me to people like you, you know, it's like, how is this how is this happening? Like, I'm just so grateful every day. And I think gratitude too brings this.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I talked about red carpeting, this is an example of red carpeting. It's like when things are in alignment, they just, you know, things just drop in, unfold. Yeah. It's just easy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you said take action, like when you mm-hmm. take action, the first podcast I was going to be on, I had a little fold-up table that I put up here in my living room. And I put my computer on the fold-up table. And then I thought, you know what? I'm trying to get ready for this podcast. Let me just bring, we had this extra desk in the basement. So we brought that upstairs and put it in here. And I was like, oh, well, what am I going to do? I'm putting this desk up here just for one interview. And it's going to just stay in this room, or I'm going to have to move it out of here. But then I just kept the desk here. Mm-hmm. And then I got asked to be on a second interview. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, you know what? That's shortly afterwards, I decided to do the YouTube channel and the desk has stayed, you know? So it's like almost like if I would have left the fold up table here and just thought I'm doing a one-time deal, you know, but I like took the action and brought this actual desk here and left it. So it's like, this is my space.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, you see it there and you actually think like, and I enjoyed spending time doing the thing that I was doing. And I didn't think I ever would, you know, but mm-hmm. yeah, you have to like take action and have the door open to discover new things and new passions. Talking to people who understand the shift that's happening is, it's like unlike anything else.
I call it finding our frequency tribe, you know, because it's not just about, you know, Bitcoin. It's like, we feel like we're on the same wavelength, the same frequencies. And when you find people that are on that, it just, it elevates us. It makes us feel so much, there's more heart connection there. You know, it feels yummy. Yeah.
I think that that's something that in this social media landscape, we haven't seen, you know, we haven't seen it. Like everyone is, even on Facebook, it's like, I hate to say it, like Facebook, I feel like is a little bit toxic sometimes. Because
not sometimes, a lot, especially yeah, these days. I can't right. be on it anymore. I used to be on it, you know, family, friends, pictures, yeah, vacations, whatever. And now there's so much anger and politics on it. I'm yeah, like, yeah, no.
It's and so much anger and politics and so many ads.
A lot of people are in that three-dimensional fear, upset, hopelessness. They just see, they're looking around their three-dimensional world and it looks like shit. You know, it's scary. And they just don't see any way out of that. And they, from their perspective, things look like they're getting worse. Although from ours, and one of the things I really encourage people to do is to kind of be a bird up on a perch and just watch what's going on and watch the drama, but not play into it.
Because then it brings you down too, when you kind of like you engage in that, all that stuff.
And it doesn't, yeah, if you want to keep your you know, frequency and your perspective elevated, watch the drama, but don't engage in it. We're going to 2025. It's going to be an amazing year, but it's 25, 6, 7 are going to be very transformative. And there's going to be a lot of dismantlement. I mean, just look at Doge and what's happening with all that, right? There's going to be a lot of dismantlement. And that is putting a lot of people into fear, you know, upset, terror, versus, oh, this is part of the big transition that's happening. We can't get to here without going through that dismantlement right. phase. So if you're up here looking at this dismantlement, you go, perfect, great, wonderful, right on schedule, rather than, you know, being in the, you know, oh my God, the Department of Education went away. You know, it's like, so it's really important to kind of maintain that perspective for your own health and well-being, but also for how you can support others, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. And I think that it's just that keeping yourself above, like that energy above the, and not like bringing your vibration down by interacting with things that upset you, because mm-hmm. like things that anger you and upset you kind of bring you down. And that's another reason I'm grateful for all of you, is because this has been a blessing again, because I feel like I'm an obsessive person. Like I get really stuck on things. And
what's your sign? What are you?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. I'm very stubborn. I used to, you know, check the Bitcoin price a lot more often. And I feel like now that I'm checking in with the community and you know how we are, when you understand Bitcoin, you just save your money in it. But I feel like I would always be checking the price. I would always be checking what's going on with the news, what's the latest drama right now. But I feel like doing this and talking to all of you and having the video edits that I'm doing and spending more time, doing this / interacting with the community and setting up like my next shows, like it's keeping me busier so that I'm focused on something that I'm enjoying. It's a new passion of mine. Like I really, really love it. So I'm not spending that time focusing on those negative, just trying to see all the drama that's playing out in the world. And I feel like it's very distracting. And I feel like that's on purpose, like to keep people from, but I think more people are seeing through that charade. They're more seeing like, well, this is just,
it's very divisive too. And the more they can keep us divided, the more we're not, you know, people are keying each other's Teslas rather than realizing, you know, the problems are at a higher level and that's where they need to be focused. So if they keep us divided, so again, you know, having a higher perspective to go, that's not the issue.
Instead of realizing what the root cause of a problem is and realizing that, you know, you can just try to start escaping from this. But I think people just think, well, how's Bitcoin going to fix what Trump is doing? Or how's Bitcoin going to fix what's going on with these countries or these wars or whatever's happening? And I'm like, well, you know, crazy enough, you know, money is the root of all evil, right? So it's like a lot of things, like by having
the love of money, because money isn't the root of all evil. It's the love of money in terms of the Bible quote. It's the love of money. In other words, just that, you know, wanting, right? Yeah.
So it's and the fiat system is built on greed and people in power and people that can control. And Bitcoin is built on decentralization. And, you know, you can't, you do have to drop your ego to understand it. You have to, it is so spread out and decentralized that it's not like one person or corporation or government owns a majority, you know, so it's a whole different protocol. And, you know, you start to realize that when you understand that, you're not busy fighting over all the little things with everybody when they're arguing about who's, because I used to get heated a little bit because I'm like, well, I have ideas too on why this or that thing is good or bad. But sometimes I'm just like, who even cares? They just want us talking about this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, great. If you can be distracted enough to not actually wake up and pay attention to what the real problem is, then you're going to just keep bickering amongst each other until eventually, you know, the Bitcoin starts to dwindle and governments, like whoever understands it now and starts to find out about it now is important, because we're trying to share with like you're trying to teach those groups of people, and you know, you're trying to share what you know about it to people that don't understand, because there is coming a time where, you know, the majority of the population is going to be buying it at a much higher price and just buying little bits of it. Like, it's not, there's always going to be redistribution, like people selling for, you know, so there will be, you know, supply somewhere, but it'll just be at a way higher price. And once they start to realize what happened after they've been blinded this whole time with all this arguing, they're going to be, you know, realizing that they should have paid attention sooner.
Paid attention to a lot of things. In other words, you know, a lot of times for Bitcoiners, it wakes them up to all the other stuff that, you know, to start to question reality in many different areas of their life, right? If the money's broken, what other things are not true? And so that's the realization. That's a different level of orange pill. It's like a deeper level of orange pill. It's not just about, you know, the money, but it's about everything we've known to be true, right?
Yeah. It's and that's why, because it's not like they think like, oh, well, how can money fix some of these issues? But it's just like, because money is such a socioeconomic tool that can disrupt so many parts of our life. It can cause depression in people. Like, you don't have time to spend with your family because you're working too much. Your kids aren't supported the way they should be. They don't, like, parents don't have time to actually speak and talk to their kids. It's like so many of these things that you wish you had time to either take care of yourself and have better physical health because you're too busy working all the time and exhausted.
Yeah.
It's like this system keeps you working too hard for less money. And you are just, it's just like a poison. It's like, you know, it's like toxic.
Yep. And the qualities of Bitcoin, of course, you know, totally align with the values and the qualities of this new earth, you know, this raised elevation in consciousness that is emerging. So the decentralization, the equality, the individual sovereignty, borderless truth, transparency, you know, and from my perspective, everything is energy and frequency. So Bitcoin as digital money is energy money, basically. So it's this neutral global money that enables and promotes borderless cooperation and peace, which is, you know, those are all the qualities that are emerging. So it's that foundational layer that's going to support this big shift.
You finish.
And this whole matrix that we've been in that you're really talking about is falling, that matrix that's falling away is bigger than financial or governmental or political. It's really mm-hmm. reality as we've known it on all levels. But it really is a time of awakening and shattering truths being revealed, and dissolution of a lot of the old paradigms, beliefs, constructs, and the emergence of the new. Yeah.
I am fascinated.
I've mentioned this in other podcasts. I have friends that call me a tracker because mm-hmm. I track information coming in from a lot of different sources. Mm-hmm. And some of them it's astrological, some of it's Chinese medicine, some of it's, you know, non-physical guidance, you know, guides, Elohim, all sorts of things. So I track things from a lot of different trajectories. And when like six of them are all saying the same thing, my little green flag goes up and says, this is something to be paying attention to. If it's just one person, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. It's just their perspective. But it's really consistent across many, many different data sources. Then I'm like, okay, this is, you know, this transformation that we are in has been from everybody, every single source over the past, you know, 20, 30 years that I've kind of been tracking this. So and a lot of people who are even more energetically sensitive than I am are really feeling the DNA shifts, the internal shifts that are happening, increased psychic sensitivities, you know, increased awareness, increased capacity to connect in with non-physical guidance, to connect in with our galactic and cosmic family, you know, what you might call ETs, but like there are many, many other, you know, races and civilizations on other planets that we are a part of, but we've kind of come here and forgotten everything. You know, we've had little blinker blinders on, and it's like we forget that we are actually part of that whole family and have access to them for support, guidance, you know, technologies, all sorts of things.
Yeah, and they say that I think it's really interesting because the way that when you think about frequencies and when you think about like light, visible light, and I just think it's really fascinating that we only see about 1% of what's actually out there.
Very narrow spectrum of the frequency bands. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we're seeing in our 3D world is because we are seeing the third dimension. We can't see mm-hmm. Like, you know,
well, my daughter, there's some people who can though.
Yeah.
Because there are people who are, you know, able to see other light frequencies, for instance, and able to see, you know, the life force energy of every plant and rock and, you know, things that are out there, because they're all kind of glowing. These are, you know, higher level octaves of frequencies that they are able to see. And so we will be able to do that as we kind of move into this new state of being.
Yeah. And my daughter, she's 9 years old. And I feel like she's like, a lot of times I feel like this little girl, she reads my mind. Like a lot of times, like I'm like, she's very connected to me. Like she can understand my thoughts. But like one time she asked me, you know, because we've had family members pass away over the years. And it's been hard for a young person, you know, like when you're older, it's still hard for you to lose somebody. But when she's 9 years old and she said, Mom, how far away is heaven? And I mean, we believe in heaven, you know, whatever your version of heaven is or what spiritual beliefs you have. But I told her, you never know. Heaven's probably right in exactly the same place we are right now.
Yes.
Like heaven could be literally right here. Yes. We just can't see it.
Yep.
And she's so smart. She said, she goes, oh, so it's kind of like the upside down in Stranger Things.
You know, I haven't seen Stranger Things, so I don't know the reference.
Okay. So but for her idea, it's like in this show that we had seen, it's like there's literally you're in the same place, but like, it's like this version, like this veil that you go, and it's like literally the same house, you know, you're just in this other dimension of it. So she, as a 9 year old, I feel like it's crazy because I never at 9 years old would even think about dimensions, but these kids now, they're so much smarter.
The kids coming in, and they're not just smarter, they are old soul conscious beings coming in to, you know, support us, to expand our awareness, to come up with there are 13 year olds coming up with inventions to clean oceans, and you know, I mean, they are old souls coming in to support this big transition. And to your point about like different frequency, you know, levels, there are two broad frequency timelines that are emerging based on kind of the energetic, internal energetic focus. One is kind of a lower, and in that book, Power Versus Force, he will talk about the frequencies that are associated with different emotions. So, you know, depression, grief, that, you know, very low, slow, heavy frequencies, and contentment, and then joy, ecstasy, very fast, high frequencies. So these two broad frequency timelines, if you will, One is based on fear, the mainstream tech media, you know, it's giving energetic life support to these old systems that are crumbling. And the other was faster, higher frequency that's more based on, it's feeding the timeline of this new earth, and it's residing in love, gratitude, compassion, peace, faster, higher frequencies. So they're like, the analogy I've been using is there are two trains leaving the station, and you can be on one or the other. And some folks are on the 3D into the fear, da, 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 and some folks are on the other. But gradually, those things are going to separate, and you need to kind of pick which one you want to be on. And whichever one you're on, that's what you're going to create. That's what you're going to manifest. That's the world you're going to see. The others will see a different world, and we will be inhabiting the same place, but you just won't see that. And it sounds strange that you can have multiple realities happening at the same time in the same place, meaning the earth, but you can't see them. There are non-physical entities, extraterrestrials that are here, you know, inhabiting, but they're at a different frequency. So we cannot see them with our, you know, our 3D capacity to see those frequencies, but they are all around us. They're, you know, and we're going to see more, we're going to have more and more contact with them over the next year, two, three. So they will manifest in a way that we are able to see them, and it's like they're coming down to meet us, and our frequencies are coming up to be able to see them, so that we will be able to acknowledge, oh, they've been there this whole time. We just haven't been able to see them because we've been at a different frequency band, if you will.
That's so interesting to me, because I feel like whenever we talk about these anomalies / UAP phenomenon, things that happen, yep, that are light sources, it's almost like this light that just, you know, it's like for a glimpse you are able to see this thing. That's why I think when people think of aliens or whatever, they think about it being literally like a human like form, like
humanoid
how we have,
form,
but,
yeah.
But it could be just like portals and energies. And like, that's why I have this one guest that's super interesting. He's actually my husband's friend. He wants to be on, and he talks about how the pyramids are, you know, like a portal, you know, type of thing.
There are portals all over the earth. I mean, we look at, you know, the earth has just like, have we have energy centers, chakras, you know, people have heard that term. The earth has chakras too. So you've got, you know, the pyramids, you've got, Mount Shasta, you know, you've got all these different places that are different energy centers that correlate to some of the things we're more familiar with on the human energetic scale.
Have you ever heard of or know anything about the Akashic Record? Because I find that very interesting. I did watch this show, and it was with somebody who he like remembers past lives, mm-hmm, and he was talking about being, you know, this being in, you know, the Akashic Record, you know, where, you know, souls or energies start off in different areas. And to me, I still like to connect that with some kind of, you know, home base. But what he said made so much sense to me. And it's crazy because he talked about his purpose here on earth is to be like a light bringer, like he calls himself, like an electrician. Like, so you go around and you like, you know, share this energy with people to kind of spark up the light, like awakening all over the world.
Absolutely. And there are a lot of, I mean, I'm a light worker. That's what I do. That's why I'm here. I think I use the analogy of a lighthouse. It's like lighthouses don't run around the island looking for ships to save. They just stand there and put out light. And whoever needs to see that will see it and track your beam in on it, you know? So there are a lot of us light workers, and there are a lot of the Akashic Records, people who can access that. Past lives are not that important. Usually they only come up if they're going to help you with something in this current life. So it doesn't really matter, you know. But there are Arcturians, there are Syrians, there are Lemurians, you know, there
That's
are all
what
sorts
I think
of
this person talks about all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I listened to a wonderful podcast the other day with Pam Gregory and Vivian, blanking on her last name. And she is an Arcturian, I'll call her a light worker, you know, and the Arcturians are millions of years old, ancient culture, galactic family culture. And she is here to play a role in helping to elevate us during this massive transformation that we are in currently.
So the person that I learned about all this from is, his name is Matias De Stefano. I don't know if you know who that is. Mm-mm. So he had a show called I think it was on Gaia or something like that, but I forgot what it was called now.
Oh, I think I do know him.
And he said that every job in the universe, like every, like just like how our body has jobs, our organs, like, you know, it's like there's all these different parts in the universe, but the part of the Akashic record places a different organ in the system, like of the body. And like the way he would describe things was so fascinating to me, because I thought of, you know, it's like part of me was like, I'm skeptical, I'm questioning, but it's just interesting hearing this guy talk, because he just had this really great way of speaking. But it was, it made so much sense to me, because then he started talking about what dimensions are. And he started saying about how, you know, even the way, like my beliefs, like I do believe in, you know, a heaven of sorts, like where all the souls or all the spirits or every energy is like whole. That's what made me think about these perspectives, like what dimensions are. You start off at a source and then eventually it comes back to the source kind of thing.
Yeah, we're multidimensional beings. And one of the things about as we move through this transition, and we're moving from, this is going to sound a little out there, from carbon-based life forms, right? Biology, right? Carbon-based life forms to light, light-based. So homo luminous rather than, you know, homo sapiens, like we're moving into, and we're basically bioenergetic beings. We are energy beings. Matter is just a little bit of an illusion, right? So we're primarily energy to begin with, and we're moving, these photon light waves that are coming over the earth are shifting our DNA. So we're going to reach a place where we're more light beings than carbon-based beings. And when we reach that place, we will have access. We will remember. We won't have these blinders on. We will remember every past life. We'll remember all of our galactic family connections. So all of that knowing and information will be available to us. So instead of like walking in and just trying to get one little Akashic record on somebody, all of that will be available to each one of us. It'll just be a given, accessible right there.
And that's why I thought it was super interesting, because when you talk to children and your children ask you about like when they experience a death and they get afraid. And I think one really great idea that I had from him and what he said was when my daughter asked me, because she was afraid of like, what happens when you die? I'm like, well, think of it when you're playing your video games and you're using this avatar to play your video games. I'm like, that avatar, like if you lose the game, that avatar is gone, but you are still you in the real world. So I'm like, your soul is like who you really are.
There you go.
And that's what I thought was so fascinating about how he described it, because I got that idea to explain it to her in that way from him, because he says that, you know, when we come from the place of origin, we know what we could be, what we want to be, everything that's possible in this world, in this universe. We come to Earth in the 3D world to play the game. We come here because we decide to play around. We want to see what is pain like, what is frustration like. Maybe in how you said earlier, how we choose to be here, it's almost like we choose during this transformational shift, we choose to be the people that come here to teach and spread that. And then our kids come to kind of like be these, you know, next generation of people that build on top of it and everything. But we chose to be here this time.
And if you take that one level higher, everything is consciousness. The entire, you know, universe is consciousness. So we are just fractals of consciousness experiencing itself, like having different experiences. Consciousness wants to have the biggest, hugest range of experiences it can, including suffering, including pain, including debt, you know, like whatever. So we are all just consciousness experiencing itself in this particular form. That's it.
And I'm so happy that you are the person that you are, and I could talk to you about this, because these are thoughts that I've had for the longest time, and I'm thankful to Laura for connecting me to you, because look what happened. Like somebody that has that can encrypt my block. That's what you are.
You there
know, you're
go.
Somebody who is,
I love,
you know,
it.
It's just crazy. It's like I feel like how am I so lucky to talk to somebody who I feel sometimes very alone with these thoughts, because I think, okay, I watched this person speak, and I feel like if I talk to most people, they might think that sounds really out there. But I feel like it's true. I feel like I can feel that. I can feel like that's a great way to explain to a kid that, yeah, this is just the game of life.
Yes.
Or how did you realize?
About a technique. It's not about, because it's just, you know, who I am at this point. I am constantly running, you know, frequencies. It's like, it's just who I am. So I'm not applying a technique. And when you're in full consciousness, you're just inhabiting that. And we will be as we move, you know, into greater that level of consciousness. But there are all sorts of, you know, light workers. Light worker is really just about being very present and very conscious and very aware, not hanging out in the past, not worried about the future. So it's really, you know, Eckhart Tolle, isn't that light worker? He's like incredibly present, right? There are many, many, and it could be, you know, the checkout girl at the grocery store. I mean, it doesn't, you know, doesn't have to be someone who is working with, you know, folks.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm really focusing on through in this role is helping people with what I call soul sovereignty, basically five levels of what humans need. You know, they need food, shelter, you know, the basic survival.
Okay,
they need to kind of, you know, belong. They need self-esteem, you know, love, that kind of stuff. But the very, very top of the pyramid is self-actualization. So it's the fifth level of Maslow's hierarchy. You know, Bitcoin sovereignty awakens people to the first four levels, sovereignty over your health, your relationships, you know, all that kind of stuff. I'm really focusing on what I'm calling soul sovereignty, which is the very top level. And we are being, in this transition, we are being guided to step into the truest, highest, most authentic versions of ourselves. So you stepping into this role that you are doing, this is part of, you know, you stepping into that. We're all being guided. You know, me doing podcasts. I'd never done a podcast before a month ago. So here I am doing podcasts now.
You never did a podcast before? I thought you'd done this.
No, this is like my fourth or fifth podcast. And
are
I've never
serious?
Done one. Yep, seriously. So we're all, you know, I've always been one-on-one. I've always been kind of, you know, doing that, but I haven't been super public. And I published something. I did a tweet out the beginning of January. It was my coming out of the closet tweet. I don't know if you saw it on my site. I mean, on the Twitter feed. And it was like, I'm coming out of the closet, not that closet, another closet, you know, in bringing spirituality consciousness into the Bitcoin space. I want to, you know, really join these. So soul sovereignty for me is becoming aware of yourself as a spirit inhabiting form, having greater capabilities, knowing yourself as part of unity consciousness, like a fractal of the greater one, and residing in that heart awareness. That's to me what soul sovereignty is. And that's one of the reasons I'm here, is to support people in recognizing that, inhabiting that, you know, being that in their life.
Yeah. And that's why the Bitcoin is the road to that, because you feel like when you have hope and you have freedom and you have, you look forward to the future, your soul feels free. And that's like part of the reason why my name is X Stacy on X, is because it's a feeling of ecstasy.
Ecstasy. Like, I know. I heard someone on some other, I can't remember what, spaces or something saying, oh yeah, X Stacy. And I'm like, no, it's ecstasy. Come on, ecstasy.
Yeah. I feel like nobody gets it yet.
I know. It's like, it's ecstasy. Come on.
Yeah. Everyone says X Stacy, but I'm like, no. it's really ecstasy, because it doesn't mean because of a typical thought of that. It's just because of the hope, the feeling of hope feels like that to me. It feels very, you know, eye-opening and enlightening and good. And it feels just like that's what that feeling is.
Absolutely. So, and one of the things I ask people is like, how do they define success in their life? Because one of the things I'm doing with clients is like helping them achieve however they define success through subtraction. So, you know, eliminating all of the imprints and the conditioning and the beliefs that were kind of, you know, imprinted on top of them through family, religious, cultural, you know, whatever, and changing, clearing all those lifelong imprints and conditioning, so that they keep you in reactive mode. You know, a lot of those reactions that we're seeing out there in the world are from that. And it prevents you from knowing and acting from your core being, your full presence, your higher capabilities. I mean, one of the things I really support people with is the fullest expression of their core nature without all the you know, the layers of all the other stuff on top. Yeah.
I love it. I'm so appreciative of you. I am thankful that you know, I know we started a bit late today. I got the time wrong, so I apologize for that.
It's okay.
And thank you for having the time today to talk to me for as long as you did. I know you have another call coming in. I cannot wait to look up, you know, I love that you mentioned Eckhart Tolle, the Power versus Force book. I want to link those and any other links you want me to share that we've mentioned today, just to help more people, you know, understand, you know, a little more what we were talking about. Such a fascinating conversation. Thank you for joining me, for being your fourth podcast.
It's been such a joy to be here with you. I'm loving it. I'm having so much fun doing this. It's like, you know, you stepping into doing this and I'm like, hey, this is going to be fun. Let's do this. So I'm really enjoying it. So
happy.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to talk to you again if you ever want to do it again. But I'm happy for you stepping out there and doing another new thing, you know, with all the list of amazing things you've done. But yes, keep speaking out and talking about this soul sovereignty. Bitcoin. Yes.
Yeah. And one of the things we haven't talked about is that about a year and a half ago, the Bitcoin Advisor company asked me to join them as an advisor. So I'm one of the 40 advisors globally around the world. So I do help people, you know, really officially buy, manage, secure their Bitcoin through multi-sig collaborative custody and estate planning and tax strategies and all of that stuff. You know, if there are anyone people around here that who are listening to this,
yes,
that either are OGs or are wanting to get into, you know, Bitcoin and they're just getting started and they have some, but they want to make sure it's, you know, as I tell people, if Bitcoin is at like $500,000 or $1 million a coin, are you still going to be comfortable with your current security, you know, protocol? And most people go, no.
Yeah.
So that is one of the other things that I do.
Definitely link that down. I'm going to link it down below. You send me the links and
I will send you the links. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have spoken with you. This
has
been
so
amazing.
Wonderful to be with you. Absolutely wonderful. Just great. Thanks for including me.
Have a great day.
You too.
Take care.